Hello and welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Naomi.
And I'm Macy, and we have a special guest here.
Do I give my real name?
Booty.
Booty.
Booty's here.
Hi, Booty.
We know Booty from roller derby, and we've known each other about 10 years, right? All three of us?
Yeah, all three.
Yeah, old school.
You're one of the derby people that I will keep with me for the rest of my life.
Me too.
I'll say that in the microphone. Yay!
And even when we're 80 and I see you out at the grocery store, I'm going to say, hey, Booty.
We're going to be very Gilmore. Nah, gosh, every time. It's not Gilmore Girls.
What Golden Girls?
Golden Girls. Golden this is the third time I've. Yes. Yeah.
Have you even ever watched the Golden Girls?
Oh, snippets here and there. Yeah.
Oh, no. Snippets.
Snippets.
I'll probably be tart to all the derby people till the day I die. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can hear Lisa trying to break through the barrier, but I made a really good barrier today.
We'll see. That's what you say every time.
I know. That's true.
So Booty was one of the, well, was one of the first people who taught me how to hit and how to take a hit. And you were the first person to hit me, and I launched and I flew across the, do you remember that?
No.
Do you remember that pace line drill? I do.
There's a few, and I love that part of derby so much.
I just remember you being like, no one told me she was new.
Your booty was deadly. I got taken out by your booty many times.
You just gotta know how to throw the booty. You gotta throw the butt around.
Yep. Yeah.
And then you stop and the momentum keeps going and boom.
That's right.
Yeah, that just shifts. Yeah.
Is Booty talking loud enough? We're sharing a microphone over here.
But when she leans over, yeah.
I don't think she wants to cuddle as close with me as I want to cuddle with her.
It's stage fright that someone might actually listen to something I'm saying.
They will.
No one's listening to it yet. So
cuddle close. Cuddle close.
There you go.
Fine. There you go.
I'll even touch you.
Are you enjoying your canned wine?
I am. Thank you. I've never had a canned wine.
It's delicious. This is 14 hands hot to trot in a can. So it's like decent wine in a can.
It is. It's good.
Yeah, it's not too shabby.
It's perfect for hiking and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. So,
what?
Sounds like your dog is.
Oh, Jesus Christ. She really is strong willed, that one.
Or you were a weak willed one.
I put like a whole thing of books in front of it. I don't. She has pit bull power. Uh-huh. Like all she has to do.
I wish you could hear the noises the dog's making trying to come up the stairs.
Actually, I was listening to the last podcast, and I was like, for some reason, I feel so soothed right now. And then I realized, I'm like, what's that noise in the background? And it was her like snoring, breathing in the background of the podcast. I was like, oh.
It comforted you.
Yes,
that's adorable.
It's like a white noise for me now.
Oh my gosh!
I think she's almost here.
That is determination. Yep.
She is almost up the stairs.
See, she has that pit bull head, so if she just gets it in a couple inches, then she can just work her way. Look at, there she is. Lisa, you made it.
She's like, I solved another puzzle, guys. But you made that one hard.
She probably does think it's like a weekly like brain tickler.
She's like, guys, you keep putting things in my way. I'm trying to be here for the podcast.
Yeah, why do you keep blocking me out of my podcast? Poor Lisa.
So Booty, the way that we typically do this is we start off by checking in with how things have been going. So who wants to start?
Do you have a check-in?
She
wants to think about it.
I cannot check in about all of my shit going on in my life. I wish I could, but I can't. But let's just say I am living in a Dr. Phil episode in real life. And I'm sure if I wrote in, I would be booked on a show immediately.
Therapist, heal thyself.
Yeah. So that's all I have to say about that.
Okay.
Now she turns into Forrest Gump.
I went snowboarding on Saturday.
Where at? There's already snow somewhere?
Schweitzer. Yeah, it was snowing this weekend.
Oh my
so
God.
That was
Don't
good.
Hit the mic, Booty.
I'm already tired.
It's okay. Rookie move.
Rookie move.
We're 39 episodes in, so I think we can say we're seasoned by now.
Can we? I don't know what that actual professional cutoff is. But
I think it's 39.
39.
Episode
not
39. 40. No, I think 39.
Okay.
How old is your dog? I'd like to know.
Nobody really knows because she's a double rescue, but she's been estimated to be 9-something. 9 years.
How long do pit bulls usually live?
9 years.
Really? Yeah. That's all?
I know. Isn't that sad? They don't live long enough for me.
I would never want a pit bull then because I'd get so attached and then...
And they die.
I don't know if I'm going to ever be able to have another dog after her. Yeah. Because she's so much perfection in a fursuit.
Do you remember Sammy, the grandma dog of mine?
I just remember Abu.
Oh, it's Abu's grandma. Yeah, she's still alive. She's 17, so there's that.
Well, Bella's 12.
What kind of dog is Bella?
Chiweenie.
Oh.
Chiweenie.
A Chihuahua weenie mix?
Wiener dog.
So like a long Chihuahua?
Yes.
Long, like
a long
dog.
Chihuahua. And I take her everywhere with me now. I bought one of those slings.
Oh, like for God's sakes, Booty.
Wait, you carry your dog like on your body?
Yeah. She's old.
Like a coat?
Yeah.
You still have a kid at home, though. I thought you're not supposed to do that shit until you have empty nest syndrome.
She doesn't like to be home alone. She gets so sad.
If I see you with a dog stroller,
I almost
we're going to have to talk.
I almost wore her tonight. Most people don't even...
It's like wearing a sugar glider.
Most people don't even know I have her. And then she'll fart or something, and I'm like, no, I swear to God, it was my dog.
Nice excuse. She's convenient. 12.
Convenient.
She's 12, so convenient. She burps and she farts.
That's like people carry babies, too, right? Blame the baby.
Yeah.
So Sammy was having some breathing problems the other day. It was like, I could hear like... like breathing.
Oh, were you getting all hopeful that it might be a last breath?
I called my dad and I was like, yeah, I don't know, Dad. She's having some hard times breathing and she's a little
fucking
slow.
Worst with this dog.
And
you don't like it, the dog?
She wants the dog to die.
My carpets are ruined from her incontinence, peeing and pooping. She's not.
I'll tell you something. I have a similar situation. And the dog had to, quote, go to the groomer.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, what does that mean?
She's just as brutal as I am. Go to the groomer.
I couldn't do it. I made my husband do it. Like, take him
my
to the groomer.
My carpets are ruined.
Oh, yeah, because she was ruining our house.
Well, you see, I have no rugs downstairs at all.
Mm-hmm.
That was
I'm going to have to tear out my carpet.
Following the last episode of diarrhea and puking, and maybe both at the same time that she had. Yeah. So now I can just wipe it up.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's pretty bad when I tell my dad what I want for Christmas is a new carpet cleaner. That's what I get to be excited about. Because mine is ruined.
Tell your dad, I want laminate flooring for Christmas.
Yes, I need something.
See, I just like over-identify with these older dogs and are just like, well, how would I want to be cared for by my loved ones when I'm in my sunset years?
Do you know what I do when I
took good care of him and then we just... took him to the groomer and he went
but
to
I don't want my kids talking. Being like, oh, she's breathing heavy. Maybe it's her last breath. Let's hope.
I had to call my dad a few days later and be like, meh, false alarm. She's fine.
Such disappointment, Macy.
Seriously, when I lay in bed, Boo comes and sleeps in his bed in the bedroom. Cat's sleeping on the bed. And then Sam walks by and she pauses and starts to come in. I'm like, Sam, no. And then she goes all sad. She can... This is a two-story house. She can go sleep anywhere in the house. But that
mom doesn't
she's isolated and she waking doesn't have a sense of belonging.
Waking up to the smell of dog shit is one of my least favorite things, and I've done it too many times in the past year. I feel like it's rotting my brain. It's awful to be awoken with what? Like, it's awful.
We were talking that they should have, like, a really nice, like, elderly dog, like, retirement village. Where they get love and care, and it's all like no carpet and
take her to the groomer.
God, you people are
just
cool.
Like, she's lively.
He had no control over his.
No, there's no bowels. No, there's nothing.
She literally just went in circles constantly.
She literally will get up and is walking, and I'm like, why are you walking so weird? She's walking on the tops of her feet without even noticing.
Can the dog go down?
No, where is she?
How the hell do you get the dog down the stairs?
Oh, it's a big ordeal. Oh,
yeah, every time after the podcast.
Would you mind seeing, like, getting her back in here and shutting the door? Just because you're closer. I'm not just bossing you around.
It's so good to have Booty here.
I know. Booty's the best.
Booty is the best.
I went with Booty to that. Holocaust survivor speaker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's she's cool. The one that told me about it because I didn't know about it.
That's awesome. No, we don't bring the kitty cat friend.
The kitty cat.
That cat is Satan.
Yeah, Satan pretending to be a cat. We don't let her in. Thank you, Booty.
So, yeah, I went snowboarding. That was fun. I'm very sore. A girl broke her arm on the mountain. Ugh. I helped her get her board off, and then I was like, oh, okay, hope it's not too bad.
Heck.
Yeah.
It's a broken arm. It probably is bad.
Probably. Her response, I said, is it your knee, your leg? She's like, my arm is snapped, was her verbiage. Snapped. Ooh. And I was like, ugh.
Booty, put your face closer to the microphone. The people want to hear what you have to say. Probably the people.
Not. Probably not.
They do. And let's remember to take a picture after.
Okay. Sounds good. So any other check? Well, you didn't really check in.
Because my whole weekend was a shit show, and it's nothing that I can talk about.
Okay. Yeah, that's weird because your son could listen and you'd be like, thanks, mom, or your coworker. You have to be careful, huh?
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, there's much we don't say.
I'm sure.
I'm never going to lie, but there may be things I don't disclose.
Well,
so that's where I've tried to draw the line. I will say that we have 425 followers on our Instagram.
Nice.
Cool. Yeah.
And I would love to know who is listening to our podcast out there. Like, I would super love to have some of our listeners just, like, comment either on the Podbean or on our Insta. I think that would be really cool.
Somebody say hi to me and make me feel better about myself. There.
Yes. Ah. Yep, you can just say hi, booty. So then, okay. So
hi, booty.
As far as you had really good topics last week, I just want to kudos you on that.
Thank you. Oh, I had a follow-up. That's right. So our fan friend from Alabama, her Instagram name is Jessie's Clear. She thinks that that quote came from Hocus Pocus.
Oh, it is. Yes, that's it.
Oh, score.
Yeah, she got it.
That's nice. Quote? Dance till you're dead? Is that what
dance,
it was?
Dance until you die.
Dance until you die. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Really? I watched that with the three-year-old.
Oh, it's three-year-old appropriate?
No. Oh. It scared her.
Oh, good job.
Sorry, she was trying to mock me by saying that. Nope, you just don't know any good movies. Okay, so I was gonna eat these dried apples, but now I'm not going to eat
dried apples in podcast.
I feel like there'd be a lot of crunching, so they're just gonna
be eating an apple.
Sit right there. We've ate apples on the podcast before.
We did for Rosh Hashanah. We had apples and honey, and it was very crunchy.
So you could hear it. Hear us eating. The nice thing about this podcast is it's ours, and we don't care, so we can do whatever we want.
We can do whatever we want, and we're very unique because we are unscripted and unedited. So we have to be accountable for what we say. Like, if we fuck up, we have to own it.
I think that terrifies me.
I think it's been very therapeutic for me. It's been helping me speak my truth, which has been my mission.
Yeah, we've had
several months.
How often do you say something and think, I'm glad nobody can ever reference that again?
I honestly haven't had anything on here where I've been like, I've had things where I'm like, but nothing where I'm like, ooh.
But I do that in real life all the time, the forehead smack. Why did I say that?
Well, I had a thing where I was being rude to my neighbors, and I retracted that at the next one because when I listened to it, I felt really bad. Because I listened to everyone like one time, usually because it reminds me to post the pictures I said I would post.
Maybe it's because I don't listen to them mostly. I listened to the last one, though.
I think it's good to listen to it because then we can, grow and change as people.
As people.
Evolve.
That's right.
I've been discussing this with Sunny lately.
Progression, human progression.
Yes, and evolution, and
Yeah, though
things they are
true attention. Evolution doesn't denote progress. So my son's been staying in this room, so look at this interesting assortment of things here, like throwing knives.
I know, I saw that. I was
miniature
like,
pyramids.
Interesting.
That's what throwing knives look like?
Well, these are like special, like anime-style ones.
Are they yours?
No, they're my son's.
Okay.
Are they yours? Yeah, she's got a new hobby.
I'm like, my kids
have you heard they have that hatchet throwing place, though, in Spokane? You can't drink, though, which has been why I haven't gone. I mean, I'm sure hatchet throwing and alcohol is probably not a good mix, but I think that I think they should probably like to move that event outdoors and involve at least a beer or so.
Yeah.
To warm up the old hatchet throwing muscles.
I don't think it's like yoga and beer. It's literally throwing a sharp-edged weapon.
Beer and hatchets, though. That seems to go...
Yeah, it's new. Like, maybe it's on, like,
maybe
Monroe,
it's historical more, cultural
Have
significance.
Have you heard of that place?
No.
I think it's on Monroe. I've driven by archery. They have like these kind of like little lanes that you have, sort of like a shooting
shooting gun pow pow place.
Yeah, where you have like your lane, and then you like have to stay in it. I mean, it's recommended that you stay in your lane. Oh, also, she writes notes when she thinks something is acceptable to her to possibly be a podcast title. So just a warning.
So this one is now called Pow Pow?
Well, it's just a list of possibilities.
Shooting gun pow pow place.
But it's very judgy, and she holds the judge.
No, it's very true. It's only me.
Right, because sometimes I say something, I'm like, ooh, that was witty, and I look at her, and like the pin doesn't get lifted.
Oh, like, not
damn
witty.
It. Not witty. Not worthy.
I made them all before this point, so with just me random recall of whatever I could remember. So now I'm trying to like catch something in the moment more. Because afterwards,
so she writes
I'm like,
something down, you've done good.
Booty, put your face closer
I'm
to
sorry,
me.
Okay.
Really close. Like this.
You can't talk. You can't talk quieter.
With, like, touching people like, get closer. And being in my bubble.
That's my mic, so it's okay.
No, I mean, I'm a bubble person.
Don't lick it. I never said that was okay. Okay.
I'm going to publicly state another goal. So we have the speaker truth goal. We have the leisure pants goal. I would also like to go snowshoeing this winter.
Me too.
I have snowshoes.
They have some at Costco.
Oh my God, maybe we could do a big event.
I've never done it.
I've never either. They have those clip-on ones at Costco.
Well, I saw you can rent them for like $8 from REI also, which seems like a good non-committal way to try it out.
I wouldn't know where to go. I want to go hiking, but I'm terrified. I know I'm going to get lost in the woods.
Well, here's where I'm going to go convinced. The first time. There's a hiking trail up by Mount Spokane, and it's clearly a trail because there's like no trees on it.
People keep telling me, oh, no, you'll be able to tell. I'm afraid I wouldn't be able to tell.
I have an innate
find my corpse
sense
hugging a tree
of mapness, and I never get lost, just so you know.
I never get lost in real life, but in the woods, I think I would.
Excuse me, we drove to Canada, and you got lost for hours.
I was going
to
say, wait a second.
That was different because it was Canada. It's like entering a
different
vortex.
Dimension.
It was supposed to take us like 2.5 hours and it took 5.
Magnets don't work there. Compasses spin. It's a totally different thing. And
she's trying to excuse herself here. She was lost.
We only went downhill for like 1,400 miles.
We drove in every...
So you're saying you went to hell.
We did.
We did. It was everything it was always down. And then at one point, I think I was like, how is there never an up? Like,
how are we on the expressway? Why the hell?
Yeah, it never went up.
I'm still in the car with these derby people and we haven't killed each other.
It kind of reminds me of that scary movie called, what is that one where, like, what's up?
Inception?
There? No.
Oh.
It's
Scary so... Movie 3?
No, never mind. But
Alice
it's basically,
in Wonderland. What's
they,
up
like,
is down,
go
what's
through
down, is
caves and through these caves, they end up coming out the other side, which ends up being exactly the way it is now, but it's hell.
Sounds like Coraline.
I don't think I've seen that movie.
Have you seen Coraline?
Ooh, I love Coraline, and I have the book.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, the book is even better.
The 3-year-old wanted to watch it, and it was on Netflix Kids, so I said, okay.
Oh my
God.
And
I turned it on, and I'm like...
brilliant. The stop action, like, technology that they used
is that is booty.
Impressive.
Just had to give that shout out.
Who was asking?
My dad.
Oh,
hi.
Papa's dad is one of our fans.
All sexy at my voice. Hi.
Our core audience is her dad and my boyfriend.
Right on.
And when we first started this, we just thought it would end there. And now we actually have other people listening to us from around the world, apparently.
That's cool.
Shocker.
Shocker.
Go ahead.
What? No.
No, nothing. You were going to say a thing.
I think you're first tonight. I was going to say that.
I am first tonight. So I...
And I'm scared because I did actually printouts and you know how blind I am? And this lighting in here is really low. It's the lighting of young people.
I can help you.
So I'm really worried I'm not going to be able to see anything.
The lighting of young people.
She just doesn't understand.
Because she's a young person.
I know.
Check back in 15 years. Tell me what you think about the lighting of young people when you go out to eat and you can't read the fucking menu. And you have to turn on the flashlight on your phone to order.
31. Yeah.
I didn't want to be rude and ask her age.
So I don't.
Care. I was doing hand signs.
Oh, I thought you were.
I have gray hair now.
Oh my god! Anymore. I have a new one that just sprouted out from this weekend right here, and it's all like crinkly, like a fucking pube.
I brushed my hair up, and I was like, "What?
Yeah, it was like stress pube that like popped out.
Gray hair
comes
in right here. Like pubic hair.
It's like kinky and like thick. It's the fucking worst.
Mine's different.
Mine's not curly.
Not good. Different.
Oh, just wait. You'll look in the mirror one day and it'll be like, what the fuck is that? And it'll be this like zigzag gray hair going straight up from the middle of your head.
Yep.
And then you'll pull it out immediately.
Then you'll find one on your chin. And
at least that's like, what I do.
I'm so excited.
And I've heard you can get them in your nipples too, but I haven't experienced that yet. But I've heard from others that that happens.
No comment.
Getting old is bullshit.
So before I jump into my... It is. You know, like, I feel like after my getting my wisdom teeth out, you don't get to know ahead of time.
Don't be picking up my nose.
Cheater? I want to stand myself.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, are you having a hot
drinking
flash?
Drinking wine and having a hot flash. See? That's what.
No, that's also my papers.
Oh. Are these all secrets?
Yes, they're all secrets. We don't know.
It's a secret from each other.
It's a very secretive podcast.
We don't tell each other anything.
We're very private people.
See, I'm just getting the lay of the land here.
So we've had... There's just
God. I was worried, though, tonight that we'd have the same topic again.
All right, let's hear it. The anticipation's killing me.
Okay, well, first of all, I just want to do a brief overview. In November, Washington, we had 46,
46
downloads.
What?
Downloads.
Oh, woo, woo.
California was next up in line with 36. I think you need to do a Cali one at some point. They've been consistently up there.
Well, I'm from there, so I could just do it personal.
Yeah, and then we have Michigan for 34 in third place.
Oh my
place.
God,
that's
my
new...
family's from Detroit on my mom's side.
Really?
Yeah. My mom lived at 7 Mile, which like I believe is 1 mile from 8 Mile.
Isn't that like
that's just a guess. I'm not good at math. So dumb. But.
And then we have Arizona at 21, Alabama at 12, New York at 12 as well. And then we got a lot on here.
Sweet. Did Estonia ever come back?
I don't think so.
Fuck Estonia. I tried so hard. I even researched a topic on Estonia. I mean, there was nothing because it's basically crime-free.
So
I researched where it was, and I know everything about it now.
United Kingdom is still second with 5, and then we have Australia, Canada, Egypt, Germany,
Egypt?
Mexico are the kind of the top ones. Yeah. Egypt, yes.
Okay. Wow.
All right.
We're intertrashable.
So my topic...
I look at Macy to see if she picks a pen up. No.
Nope.
Judged so harshly.
No, it wasn't. I heard you say something, and I heard Booty laugh, and I feel like what did you say? I wasn't really listening.
You weren't even listening. No. Jesus Christ, Macy. Be present.
What did you say?
It doesn't even matter now.
Do you remember?
No. We're old. She doesn't remember. I don't remember.
I can't see. I can't hear.
So I watched the Netflix series, the 5-part documentary called The Confession Killer.
Ooh, I have not seen it.
It's very interesting. I highly recommend it. So that sent me down the rabbit trail of looking into this. And have you heard of Henry Lee Lucas?
No, I have not.
No? So
tell us more. What's it about? What's that confession killer about?
Serial killer.
Oh, it's a serial killer confession.
So his crime spanned from 1960 to 1983.
Good extrapolating, Booty.
I just dud her, basically.
Duh. You don't have to apologize.
Ooh, do you smell that fart?
Did you fart?
That is a dog fart.
Oh, my God.
Ew.
Oh, my God.
Usually Macy doesn't get it all the way over to her. I usually get them all.
How am I supposed to podcast in these conditions?
That's really
Jesus
bad.
Christ.
That's an old dog.
That's an old lady dog fart right there.
You have to be the one to talk right now because I'm not doing my talking.
I
my
can't
mouth
see.
Open. Okay. Okay,
yeah. This is going to be us one day, baby.
Gosh, okay.
Our grandkids are going to be like, oh, shit, Graham's farted. Clear the room.
I'm almost getting to the point where I don't care already.
So. You guys are never going to let me start my topic.
I'm worried that things are loosening up down there.
I keep thinking you're talking about yourself.
No, I was.
She is.
Oh, okay.
Like she is.
So he was convicted of murdering 11 people and condemned to death for the murder of Deborah Jackson, although his sentence would be continued to life in prison in 1998. So he rose to infamy after confessing to 600 plus murders.
What?
Yes. Have you ever heard of Henry Lee Lucas?
No, I haven't.
You think you would. 600 plus murders.
Is it false confessions?
Look at his face.
Is that spoiler
his
alert?
Face.
He looks like a murderer.
He looks like he has a sunburn on his nose.
It's a black and white photo. How would you even know that? So it was really interesting watching it because what happened was he went to prison for 15 years for murdering his mom.
Oh.
He murdered his mom, and then there was two other people who he confessed to murdering, a childhood friend, and then another person later on. So he confessed to those, and he served 15 years in prison. And then he got out, and he was questioned again for some potential
I don't understand why we're letting people out after 15 years for killing multiple people.
Yes.
Did he like the people that he killed? You said his mother, a childhood friend?
So, okay. He appears very confident with what he says. And they were able in these three to tie enough things to him to be able to say that those were true things that happened. He has a fairly low IQ. They were saying that he had a traumatic brain injury that happened between the ages, I think, like 5 and 10. 10 years old, he had a traumatic brain injury.
You know, that's exceedingly common in serial killers.
For violent crimes?
That they have a TBI as a child and then they go on to become serial killers.
Mm-hmm. So,
did they do DNA?
So this was pre-DNA for this,
what
most
was that
of them.
Movement you just made?
She made a mouth swab.
Oh, it looked like a BJ movement.
No, that's...
Oh, it's very similar.
This is
though.
Why we don't video our podcasts.
I wanted to do an ancestry DNA for Christmas, and my mom said, she's like, no.
Oh,
I don't
my
want
God.
Our DNA on file.
Or maybe your dad's not your dad.
I'm like, are you a serial killer?
That's why I can't do it, Dad. All he says is, well.
I guess we'll find out.
You're probably not mine, but I still took care of you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
They'd
be like, closest relative, not in Spokane.
Nope. So So this is down in Texas. The Attorney General of Texas, they started talking to him about these other murders that happened, and he started giving confessions to these other murders that kept being brought to him. So to refresh his memory, they would come and they would show him photos of crime scenes and show him pictures of one of them is they have dubbed Orange Socks because she was left with just her orange socks on. Mm-hmm. And they provide him just enough details where he'd actually go and he'd point out, yep, right there, I dumped her body, flipped her over, had sex with her body after she died. And it was enough where they were like, oh, this guy is so awful. And so they would keep bringing new cases to him because they would have a confession for these cases that have been open for a really long time. So again, 600 plus cases that he confessed to.
How do you even do that?
Did
you like kill a person?
Were they real though? Or did he know just enough details to sort of like,
I just can't believe someone can actually, it would be hard to get away with one murder, 600 murders.
Oh, I could get away with one murder.
And your brain is not all there. How?
So, in hindsight, there has been a lot of issues with this. He went to prison. And
for these confessions.
For these confessions. And with DNA evidence coming out, it's already been proven that at least 20 of those, have already found the person that did it.
Oh, so they got ruled out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, how did he
but
have
think about all the ones
info,
that they
though, to be convincing?
Well, so, like maybe they fed it to him.
And this is
a little bit at a time.
This is where I really recommend the Netflix series because they actually show video footage of them, like showing him the pictures, and they feed him the information.
So they were just
the picture and trying then he's at to the get a convention. He's like, yeah, that's where the body was.
Yeah, they literally, yeah. But they said that he had an amazing.
They show him a picture of a body in a barn. Where did you put the body? In a barn?
Well, and then he would just, if he said something wrong, he would just kind of gauge their reactions and then change what he said. Mm-hmm. And because they were looking so badly to have somebody to blame it
so
on.
So he was seeking their approval.
And that's really what this came to, is with the cognitive disabilities that he had, he was really people-pleasing because they let him watch TV. He didn't have to be in handcuffs. Like, here's this guy who killed 600-plus people, and yet he gets to sit and be interviewed smoking cigarettes. Like, he got treated very well. And the Texas Rangers said that that was, I mean, that they had to keep him talking. So he had fancy steak dinners, milkshakes, so TV privileges to help with so confessions.
Oh my God, this reminds me of Buster and Arrested Development.
I was going to
That's
say
what they did with him. It was like, want another juice box, Buster?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of them, like later on, the family, because the families of the victims want to know who did it. So at first, they're very on board. But for example, one of the families had said, you know, my mom's had a watch bracelet on, and he had said that she had a watch bracelet on, and he described details of her mom that was enough for her to be like, he must have done it. But then later when she was cleaning her house, she found the watch. She hadn't worn it that day. Those were details she had given the police that the police had given him. So that's he scary. Was able to describe it. So he had a really good memory. He could redraw the maps that were shown to him in pictures.
Damn it.
That's shady
shit.
So,
can you imagine if all of a sudden you were in jail accused of doing something and
that I hadn't
it
done?
It looked like you had done it even though you hadn't?
Well, if you think about it,
I hate being accused of shit that I haven't done. Like, have you ever worked at a job where like money disappeared or something and they're asking
everybody?
It's not
me. It's not me.
Yeah, it feels terrible. Even though you know you didn't do it, like just like, sucks to be accused. Yeah, it sucks.
Well, this guy liked it. But if you think about it, once you get going, what keeps you from death row? Having more confessions. And so for his first trial that he went to, that he was talking about, the judge was talking to him, and they have a video clip of it on YouTube. And he goes, okay, well, yeah, but what are we going to do about the other 200 bodies? And the judge is like, what? And then the courtroom just erupts.
Endless amounts of time.
It sounds crazy that they would accept that, but they wanted to accept
He's a useful bird.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the Rangers created this whole task force then. So the Texas Rangers created a task force to not solve the murders, but to help other counties connect their missing persons with him. So
it
wasn't just...
So he was a real scapegoat.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And they even said, like, we don't like what he's done, but we like him as... Because they had a relationship with him. Like, had to keep that.
Did he actually kill anybody in his life?
It is fairly certain that he did kill his mom.
I was going to say.
And then the other two, he's at least linked with those people. Because almost all the other ones, they're like, okay, totally Florida. Like, he'd have to be driving 50 miles an hour nonstop for a week, no breaks, to get from one location to another. Another one that he was charged with, he has records of being at work that day, and people said he was at work.
You could do that, though, if you wore astronaut diapers.
Did he have a lawyer that was just like, a lawyer that was just like, oh, we're not even going to attempt to...
Booty, put your face really close.
Well, he was confessing. He wasn't defending himself at that point. He was just confessing. He wasn't in court yet. He was being held by the Texas Rangers. So they said
you don't get to have a bubble.
It was
podcast.
In January 11th, 1960 in Michigan, where he killed his mother due to an argument regarding whether or not he should return home to her house to care for her as she grew older.
Holy hell.
This sounds like
I guess
dog.
The answer is no.
Topical.
He claimed she struck him over the head with a broom, at which point he stabbed her in the neck. He then fled the scene. So his quote was, all I remember was slapping her alongside the neck. But after I did that, I saw her fall and I decided to grab her. But she fell to the floor. And when I went back to pick her up, I realized she was dead. Then I noticed that I had a knife in my hand and she had been cut.
Oops.
Oh, shit.
Oops. She slipped and fell on my knife.
Oops.
So
So it sounds like he really technically, he doesn't sound like a good person.
But it's interesting because the official...
Or that's a crime of passion, kind of. But
the official report was that she died of a heart attack.
Hmm?
Right?
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's what the actual...
Is there a wound documented?
They said that she was found in a pool of blood.
Well, then he can't be accused of murder. It would be a lesser charge.
Well, you would think all of these, he couldn't be accused of murder. But if you have a... not many people say, I did it. So no. Most of the time they're like, okay. Thank you for telling us.
Yeah, but there's a lot of crazy people that do stuff like that for attention.
Well, and so a lot of the, you know, this came after, what's his name? Ted Bundy. So this is post Ted Bundy.
Okay.
So there's this kind of fame aspect that went with it of, well, I killed supposedly three people. And, oh, if you like that, I've got more. He wanted to kind of be the best and then pleasing.
He was given so much attention.
But even when you hear him talk, like he has kind of he has a lazy eye and one eye, like he's
not all there.
He's not like a, and he doesn't, he's not like a sociopath. He's just not. He's a con artist for sure. But a lot of it is just very, this pleasing and later in is life from not, prison, he said
you have
that
to be smart to be a sociopath, right?
I mean,
I don't honestly know.
Maybe there's a scale there, but they usually do have pretty high intellects,
though. That's what I thought.
I'm pretty smart.
I know. I'm afraid of you.
How many people have you killed?
Nobody yet.
How many people fell on your knife?
Did you know I grew up, less than a quarter of a mile from the Green River Killer?
No.
Wow. I used to sled on the hill in front of his house.
See, you have a good topic.
So, and that's one of the things that they had someone come in later to try to counter all of these confessions was they looked at patterns of how they would normally track this. And they said that, you know, everybody has kind of their own pattern, even if there's variance within that, like the Green River Killer had a specific on a map, you can kind of see mm-hmm. his area. Ted Bundy had a certain type of person. Mm-hmm. But when they pulled up this list of 100 different people, there was old women, there were young kids, there were, the diversity, it was so diverse. And then the map was, it was all over the United States.
Just basically, you got an unsolved murder, we got your guy here.
Exactly. That's what was happening. But people were starting to get savvy to that in other jurisdictions where they either had counter evidence or they were like, this guy is not the one. And it actually ended up having another county almost, what's his name? He's like a district attorney, something like that, almost went to jail over it because he questioned the task force and started going after the task force. And then they started going after him and dug up the stuff that he had taken bribes and all of that, which ended up being false. But they tried to put him away for that, for trying to bring out the fact that these weren't true confessions.
Should we watch the show?
Oh my gosh, that was so loud.
Sorry.
Yes. Watch the show, please.
I'm leaning in and out of the mic because Booty doesn't want to touch cheeks with me, so I might have leaned in too hard.
In 1971, Lucas was convicted of attempting to kidnap three schoolgirls. While serving a 5-year sentence for the crime, he established a relationship with a family friend and a single mother had written him. They married in 1975. But he left the marriage 2 years later after his stepdaughter accused him of sexually abusing her. Lucas began moving between various relatives, and one got him a job in West Virginia, where he established a relationship that ended with his girlfriend's family confronting him about abuse.
So he's not a good guy.
No, I definitely wouldn't say he's like a good guy that is being wrongly accused.
Right.
I would say he's a bad guy who is
being used.
Not as
to solve cases.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like there's that double edge because it kind of became this pleading
guy,
thing.
But they started just dumping stuff on him.
So he would tell one of the rangers, "No, I don't really think I did that one. I don't think that was me." And there was like this moment of like, I don't think that was me. And then he would tell the other one, and you would hear in the audio recordings like, "You're just tired. You're stressed out. Do you need the medicine? Do we need to go get the doctor? Why don't you just put on TV and tell you calm down?" Yeah.
What's the medicine?
So I tell you what you want to hear. You give me Xanax. All right.
So there's that kind of like.
That's scary.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Pretty sketchy stuff. Hmm. But when they took him, when the other district took him away from Texas, they were very, the Rangers were very upset. They didn't know that that was going to happen. So they had a warrant, I guess, or something like that to take him from there to go and interview him back in their state. And they did that. And he's like, no, I made it up. They're really wanting a confession, and I just gave them what they want. If they want it so bad, I'll just give it to them. They give me everything I need. And so he told them that, and they have all of that, and yet they still push that they were real because it made the Rangers look bad that they didn't investigate well enough.
Wow. Were any of those Rangers named Walker?
They should be. Are you proud of yourself for that one?
She didn't pick up her pencil. Sorry.
So in November 1983, Lucas was transferred to a jail in Williamson County, Texas. Lucas reported that he was roughly treated by inmates. He attempted suicide. Lucas claimed that police stripped him naked, denied him cigarettes and bedding, held him in a cold cell, tortured his genitalia.
What?
Yeah. And allowed him, him to contact an attorney. In interviews with law enforcement, Lucas confessed to numerous additional unsolved killings. So it was thought that there was a positive corroboration with his confessions in 28 unsolved murders. And so they started the Lucas Task Force that was all created around him. The task force was officially cleared 213 previously unsolved murders as a result of the confessions. So those were cleared. As in, oh, we have our killer. So he received preferential treatment. They even would take him to restaurants and cafes for his participation.
So he was living his best life while accused of killing 600 people?
Yeah. He was allowed to wander the police station without handcuffs. He even knew the codes for the security doors.
So they weren't really afraid of the man. So what does that tell you?
Uh-huh. So... He was given access to information in the files. There were suggestions that the interview tapes showed that Lucas would read the reactions of those interviewing him and would alter what he was saying, thereby making his confessions more consistent with facts known to law enforcement. So at one point, I remember in the video, they were like, well, was there a baby? Do you remember a baby or wasn't there a baby there? And he goes, yeah, you know, I think there was a baby there in the room. I don't think it was her baby. He paused and you could see him waiting for a reaction. He goes, but you know, it might've been, I can't be sure. And so you could kind of see him gauging.
So it's like sometimes how those mediums work where they're just like waiting for the reaction and then they go down that road.
Mm-hmm. He was reading them.
Yeah. He could have probably made money off of people. So the most serious allegation was that investigators had let him read case files on unsolved crimes. Gave him details of the confession, which made it virtually impossible to determine if they were telling the truth or not. Yeah.
It doesn't take a lot of smarts to know that's not a smart thing to do. I'm just saying.
That was a smart thing to say, Booty.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So in 1984, Lucas confessed to the murder of an unidentified girl who was discovered shot to dead in a field in Caledonia, New York. On November 10th, 1979, the unidentified girl was referred to at the time as Caledonia Jane Doe. Investigators, however, found insufficient evidence to support the confession. In early 2015, over 35 years later, Caledonia Jane Doe, was identified through DNA as Tammy Alexander. And really, almost all of these, other than those first three, there's no DNA evidence or any really circumstantial evidence to put him there. And sometimes
that means there's a whole lot of killers still out there.
I know. And that's these families who got the, okay, it's cleared, just means that they got the wrong guy.
So it made them feel good for a little while, instant gratification. And then
you'd
have
to kill so often to kill 600 people.
They calculated that Lucas would have had to use his 13-year-old Ford station wagon to cover 11,000 miles in 1 month to have committed the crimes police attributed to him. After the story appeared in April 1985 and revealed the flawed methods of the Lucas Task Force, law enforcement opinion began to turn against the claims that the crimes had been solved. So there, the Netflix series goes into kind of a big rant between the task force and the people trying to call it out, because it created a whole nother layer of legal issue with that, and I'm not going to go hugely into, but really the people who had him in custody didn't do anything to end the hoax. They just let it keep going. So he has remained convicted of 11 homicides at this point.
Do you think they're legitimate?
Every single one that I've read and in the film said there's only those three that have any connection to him.
If he killed three people, he deserves to be in jail. But the scary thing is all the people that killed those 597 other people are still out there walking around.
He had been sentenced to death for one, the one dubbed Orange Socks. And despite a timesheet recording his presence at work in Jacksonville, Florida. So there's a timesheet that he worked that day and was gone. So Lucas,
facts.
Yeah. So working in Florida, and this happened in Texas.
Pesky facts.
Yeah. But that's one of the things that he's there for on death row for. So he was granted a stay on his death sentence after it's been discovered that the details of the confessions aren't great. So the sentence was commuted to life in prison in 1998 by George W. Bush. And yeah, they did find out Orange Socks was Deborah Jackson, a 23-year-old.
Well, at least she got identified.
Yeah. Yeah. So he actually died in prison. Lucas died in prison March 12th, 2001, from heart failure at age 64.
That goes back to the importance of being prepared for death at all times when we choose our outfits and nail polish and all that. I mean, I don't want to be identified as chipped nail polish number 3, you know?
I want to be identified as, damn, her hair was fantastic.
Exactly.
And those shoes.
And that lotion. Mm, and she smells fine.
Oh, and the scarf.
Uh-huh.
Macy looks like she wants to smack us right now.
Anyways, that's all. It was very, I highly recommend the Netflix series. It very interesting, though.
Confessions of a Killer.
I will watch it.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
The Confessions, Confessions Killer. Yeah.
Confessions Killer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. Yeah. Do that.
Well, my topic I alluded to at last podcast. This podcast is dedicated to my female coworker friend who was called histrionic at work by a male coworker, superior.
Superior.
Yes. And there's a side note to this that I'll tell you after the podcast, Macy, that relates to you.
Oh, good. Goody.
That you'll enjoy. It'll get you all kinds of fired up.
Oh, good.
All right, let me put on my glasses because this is young people lighting.
I feel somewhat superior because I can read it, no problem.
No, I am fucking blind as shit.
She's very blind.
All right, so histrionic personality disorder. I'm going to go over the diagnostic criteria in the DSM-5, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual. We've established that is not our manual.
There, man.
You lost me at the acronym. Go on.
So you have to have five or more of these to qualify. Is uncomfortable in situations in which he or she is not the center of attention.
No.
Interaction with others is often characterized by inappropriate, sexually seductive, or provocative behavior.
No.
Displays rapidly shifting and shallow expressions of emotion.
Sometimes.
Consistently uses physical appearance to draw attention to self.
No.
At times. Has a style of speech that is excessively impressionistic and lacking in detail.
What does that even mean?
I'm so glad you said that too.
Impressionistic?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I think it just means like you're sort of like fake.
Oh.
Like you're impressionable. Compared to
whose standards?
Well, this is the man Yule's standards. Has a style of speech. Oh, I just said that. Shows self-dramatization, theatricality, and exaggerated expression of emotion. By whose standard, I would say again, is suggestible, easily influenced by others or circumstances. That could be anybody at times. Considers relationships to be more intimate than they actually are. Hey, I've been there.
We've all been there.
I've been the fool on the hill.
I don't want to talk about it.
Exactly. So I think it's problematic when you work in a mental health setting to use a mental health disorder as a personal insult.
Absolutely.
Yes. But I want to dive into the history of this because it's definitely gender biased towards women.
Mm-hmm.
So the historical roots of histrionic personality disorder. So this has come from about 4,000 years ago when it first showed up in Egyptian medical papyrus dated from 1990 BCE. So this was the first known medical gynecological text. So that's old.
Wow.
Then Plato described this phenomenon as the animal within them is desirous of procreating children, and when remaining unfruitful, gets discontented and angry and wandering in every direction through the body.
That statement makes me angry.
Drives them to extremity, causes
I'm so angry, I need to have babies.
Of disease.
Yeah. Said no woman ever.
Yes.
From the I one that I want to have your baby.
So histrionic personality disorder is the only modern category in diagnostic classifications that conserved a derivative of the old concept hysteria.
Hysteria.
So several psychiatric disorders derived from the original term hysteria, such as the conversion disorder, the somatization disorder, somatoform disorders, the term mass hysteria, and finally, the histrionic personality disorder.
This, if you're going to read this, this is the part that really...
Yes, I'm going to that next.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, the word hysteria... Don't look at my notes.
So for my whole time, she doesn't have her face near the mic. Now she's leaning in. She's got a hand on her hip.
Are you passionate?
She's all passionate right
about
now.
This topic.
Yes, the word hysteria derived from the Greek term hysteria, which means womb or uterus. So, and then in old Rome, the word histrion was already used to define the actors that represented coarse farces, representing those who are false and theatrical. So you can see the linking between these. And neither are like positive or flattering, depictions
so
of...
So applicable to so many things right now.
Our feminine nature that is natural and moist and earthy, as I learned in Women Who Run with the Wolves. Have you ever read Women Who Run with the Wolves?
No.
I think you both should read it and we should report back.
Okay. I would.
So
I like a good assignment.
I won't do that.
So early on, hysteria was considered the wandering womb or the wicked womb. And it was Hippocrates who first introduced the term hysteria and described it as the consequence of a dry womb rising toward the throat, searching for humidity.
What?
Driving for the throat?
Yeah.
Like my internal throat?
Or a frustrated uterus that would affect widows and virgins.
What stupid man came up with this?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
My frustrated uterus.
This is all men. So then, of course, during the Middle Ages,
I'm sure it's not anything really worthwhile to be stressed out about.
As the attitude towards sickness changed from naturalistic to demonotheologic, so hysteria came to be seen as a manifestation of demonic possession, of course. So,
of course,
convulsions and the so-called, quote, suffocations of the matrix, unquote, I don't know what that means.
I know the matrix.
But what does that have to do with our womb?
It means
womb?
You can bend backwards really far because maybe because your frustrated womb tries to come out your throat so you can bend backwards.
Because our womb is thirsty.
This is basically saying we have a womb, so we're hysterical.
Yes.
We have no rational thought.
By the way, my dad said you're all hysterical.
Oh. If he came in here right now, he'd get attacked by three hysterical
women. Your dad can get away with saying that right now.
We have really thirsty wombs, Papa's dead, so watch out. Yeah.
No, we don't.
So these convulsions were considered as an expression of sexual pleasure and therefore sin.
So orgasm is sinful?
Yes. The devil could enter a woman's body to possess them and the hysterical become the witch. So
men
they were
can
persecuted.
Orgasm all over the place, but if women were, it's Satan.
Yeah, it's pathological.
And then you become a witch.
Yeah, so there was all these cures that came out.
Cures,
so
just sew it up.
With renewed interest on shocking empiricism and science during the Renaissance, old concepts of hysteria were re-brought to the surface, and then these therapies were brought up. So one of them was genital stimulation by horse riding.
Excuse me.
What? You're hysterical. Let's go ride a horse.
Go ride a horse. Yeah, because it was like this repressed sexual energy.
So you need to like repeatedly. I used to ride horses. That doesn't.
Did you ever have an orgasm riding a horse?
No. You just. No.
Why not just go have sex?
If it's anything like when I ride a bike, like mine gets numb, actually.
No, I was going to say that, but I just didn't want to. But thanks.
Well, I went there. I mean, the worst idea on a date night is going for a three-hour bike ride. Like, nothing's going to be happening later. Like, you can try, but good luck.
Oh, good lord.
Like we said, Booty, this isn't edited, so
yeah.
Feel free to share openly.
Yeah.
You're learning. You're learning. Keep
so
going.
Throughout time, all these different people were researching this. All men. At the end of the 19th century, the famous French neurologist Jean-Martin Charcot, I'm going to say it Frenchy, he considered hysteria as a neurosis with an organic basis and described permanent clinical features in patients who were also prone to paroxysmal fits. So I think that's again, it might be this orgasm again. That is seen as pathological.
So we're a bunch of
is it
kind of
like
orgasmic hysterical
kind of like choreomania though, like where they could have been dancing as a form of social revolt against the really because that movement was a form of constraint by the government. So when they moved, it became choreomania, which people did die from eventually, but
yeah.
Painting on it.
I think research into this is where some male doctor who probably thought he was a fucking genius decided that women actually have orgasms.
Yeah, this guy could have gotten all the credit in the world, like discovering the female orgasm, but he decides to go the other route with it.
Yeah, and make it pathological.
Poor choice.
So Charcot had influences on good old Sigmund Freud and ladder theories. So Freud and an associate named Brewer that nobody's ever heard of published the Studies on Hysteria in 1895. And this included the famous case study of Anna O that we all learned about in school.
Yeah.
And the formulation
you say that we all learn about and Booty raised your eyebrows. We can't assume that everybody knows who Anna O is.
I said we all. I gave you a hand gesture.
People don't know that you're pointing at me. It's a podcast.
I gestured.
I know the O stories.
So Yeah, there's this, and just look it up, Google it later.
Wow.
I hate it when people tell me to Google something.
And so there are different types of hysteria.
There's a podcast about stuff that you don't know about.
Google it.
Just Google
well,
it.
Well, I have a lot of other stuff I want to talk about. I don't want to get into it now.
Too bad.
So Freud and this other dude in studies on hysteria proposed that hysteria was a disorder caused by a lack of libidinal evolution.
And libido.
This set the stage for the Oedipal conflict.
Yeah.
So the consequence and not the cause would be the lack of conception as a result of the incapacity of the hysterical to live a mature relationship.
Are they talking about BPD?
So they're saying that women that don't
They are talking about BPD, aren't they?
Yes, you're jumping ahead, but yes.
Oh my gosh, huh, look at me pulling things together.
I don't know what BPD means.
Borderline personality disorder. So
the way he described that, I went, oh,
yeah.
Wait a minute.
So hysterical symptoms would therefore be the expression of the impossibility of fulfillment of the patient's sexual drive.
So to put this
so rooted in an inability to be in a relationship.
To put that, in context of having a hard time engaging in healthy relationships, having healthy boundaries, feeling satisfied in relationships because it's that like I love you, I hate you scenario.
Well,
so their context here is that person has because of that. Let me soften it. Because of some of those problems that get in the way of relationships, it may make it where they don't find fruitful relationships in the future that might make them have a child, which back in the day was important. Does that soften it a little bit?
A little bit.
Okay.
Yes.
We can go back to man-hating here in a minute. It's okay.
I'm there.
So now let's jump over to histrionic. Oh, no. First, I want to show you some cures.
Oh, goody.
So here's an ad.
Bet you
for
didn't know you're showing up for a cure.
The American Vibrator Company. So back in the Victorian days.
Oh, my.
Wait, is there a picture?
Yeah.
You're going to post that for people?
You could get a self-massage. And it was supposed to cure, hysteria.
Can I see the picture?
Yeah. I mean, it shows her doing it on her neck, but the implications are clear if you read the ad.
Those catalogs my mom gets for
it is
people.
On her neck.
And they this show is them like the dildo on their neck.
I fell onto the knife. I fell onto the dildo. Stabbed me in the neck. There is nothing so delightful and so invigorating as a good thorough massage. There is only one way to get a good thorough massage through the use of the American Vibrator. That's a big statement. Let us prove it. We will send you a vibrator absolutely free for a 15-day trial.
Give me that number.
Yeah, who wants to return that?
No, you send that back in a baggie or what? If it is not all we say, you can return it at our expense. Isn't that fair? Write today and ask for our booklet number 151 and our plan. American Vibrator Company, Victoria Building, St. Louis.
I love the Victorian times. This is,
Again by getting every woman a vibrator.
That's not a bad idea.
That might work.
Why not?
That might make America happier.
Yeah.
A little more friendly.
I'm not saying that they're completely wrong. I'm just saying that the way they communicate it could be improved.
So in the 16th century, the English surgeon Nathaniel Highmore publicly claimed
Hyman.
The quote hysterical paroxysm unquote, which was the result of genital stimulation of women, could be called an orgasm. Thank you, Dr. Highmore, for allowing the orgasm to exist. And then the first vibrator came courtesy of Dr. J. Mortimer Granville as a way to bring women to orgasm and relieve them of their hysteria.
I would like to
more quickly.
I'm sure a woman came up with this long before this Mr. Smartman. Long before Mr. Smartman.
Oh, I'm sure. But
well, because they've been having hysterical fits.
But you take credit for it, Mr. Hyman. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So apparently women were sexually deprived.
Highmore, not Hyman. Is that a Freudian slip, Booty?
Yes.
I kept repeating Hyman, and then she... So women were hysterical because they're not getting properly laid.
Properly serviced. That's how it sounds.
Properly serviced. Yeah. So there's tools for that.
Yeah, to cure your hysteria.
And the best ones are probably invented by women.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even need a tool. There's, I won't get into it.
I know. Her dad's listening.
I know. It always gets a little awkward. It's
there's
okay.
Nothing you have to purchase, ladies. Message me. I'll tell you. So let's jump over to histrionic personality disorder from this hysteria. Although the roots of modern histrionic personality can be traced back to Freud's description of, quote, hysterical neuroses, unquote, the personality aspects were already a matter of attention. So this was already coming up. So there's a difference in the history of like diagnosis between personality disorders and neuroses. So that's like part of the history of diagnosis shit that nobody cares about. No. I know, nobody cares.
I'm the common woman here.
So for the one counselor that might be listening, that's for you.
And me?
That was for Missy, actually.
Okay.
So in the mid-19th century, this dude, Ernst von Fechtelleben.
I bet that's how it goes.
Who wrote the textbook of medical psychology and made the first psychosocial description of what would become the histrionic personality. He described hysterical women as being sexually heightened, selfish, and overprivileged with satiety and boredom.
I was reading ahead. That's what that.
Fuck you, Ernst von Fechtelleben.
Fuchtenstein.
Fuck your Leben.
Fuck your Leben. There we go.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know why people would say that.
So they continued to sort of like differentiate. Oh my God, Booty, turn your phone off.
We have a rule that you have to answer your phone on the podcast if it rings.
Oh, no. Air your dirty laundry.
No, it's my mother.
Oh, please do.
Oh God.
Let's talk about hysteria and orgasms with your mom.
I'm sure she'd have something to say.
So as Mish, you mentioned a minute ago, you recognize the similarity between symptomology and today's borderline personality disorder diagnosis. So historically, there's been similarities and associations with.
I do want to say sexuality is not in that part, but I see the connection they're trying to make. Just so I don't have that hate mail coming at me.
Yes. So there's been association in the history of this with conversion disorders.
My dad said, thanks for uninviting me to this show today.
Aww.
No, he's genuinely happy.
Somatization disorders, dissociation, and then our borderline personality disorder. So the most common condition currently associated with classical hysteria is borderline personality disorder. So even now there's a stigma against people who suffer from BPD. It might be hard to find therapists that treat it because the symptoms include emotional volatility and instability. So women are diagnosed with borderline personality disorder are often considered to be hysterical. And women are diagnosed with borderline personality disorder 75% more than men.
Can I'm raising my hand?
Yes.
So I currently work in an intensive outpatient program that has DBT with regardless of diagnosis. But one of the ways that I describe, instead of listing those things there, because those sound horrible, I just say, do you have a hard time connecting with others in your life? And it's really like how you deal with the world around you, accepting life on life's terms, things like that.
Why are they trying to slap a diagnosis on the fact that things make you angry?
I think it's men not understanding women and trying to make it pathological.
Because it's all attachment based. Like these are learned patterns of behavior over time from different attachment models that they've seen growing up that they've to get their needs met. People are just trying to get their needs met.
That's right. Absolutely. 100%. So in her book, Women and Borderline Personality Disorder, Symptoms and Stories, author Janet Worth Cochin.
You've had the best last names this show.
There's two.
It's like Cochin.
Cochin.
We had a Hyman and a Cochin.
The label borderline may function in the same way that hysteria did in the late 19th and early 20th century as a label for women.
Non-specific.
Yeah, and she also talks about that women are more prone to mental illness and to abnormal behavior because normal behavior is often a proxy for male behavior.
Yes.
So when the men are defining what's normal, the women are going to be pathologized because they don't fucking understand us and they burn us at the stake, you motherfuckers.
Well, and not understanding, I think this goes back to even today, not understanding the true impact of trauma, how that impacts everybody. And women have higher rates of abuse, physical, emotional, sexual abuse. Doesn't mean men don't, but women have higher. So a lot of these things, like, yes, statistically, there are higher odds of somebody reacting normally to abnormal situations. It is not normal for someone to be sexually abused in their childhood and then be in codependent, abusive relationships the rest of their life. That's not normal, but they're reacting.
Right. And the only way you know to get your needs met, maybe through lies and manipulation.
Why is it hysterical?
Because it works.
Because it's worked. Feel. And because if people don't...
Why can't I be emotional?
Okay, I have a friend who works in a very, very, very male-dominated industry. Like,
put your face closer to mine.
The woman.
You could move your face away so she can put... Why do you got to move them? Let her... You don't need your face near her face.
I need my face near her face.
Her evaluation, her annual evaluation. And the one problem they had was that they said, you don't get along with everybody. You complain about these people. And she said, I told you they weren't doing their job.
Mm.
That's my job to tell you they're not doing their job. But they basically said, it's just her. She can't get along with people. She's hysterical.
I had that comment.
It's so insulting.
Made at me and another coworker fairly recently, but the statement was, so we're trying to describe the distress that's happening to support our staff in a distressing time and the support that they need. And the statement was, well, maybe this is more about you two than about everybody else. And how quickly it got shifted to that. And it was like this, excuse me? It's easier to deal with pointing the finger and isolating individuals than to say that there's a systemic problem that needs to be addressed.
Or you're doing your job by pointing out that a man isn't doing theirs and you're not being hysterical.
I hate that I have to argue and fight for anything that I often see men just be handed blindly and then, oh, shocker, that crashed and burned on you.
Isn't it shocking that there's still no sexual equality in the workplace in 2019?
If a woman says something, she's being bitchy.
Or sensitive. If they get upset, they're too sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about you don't be a dick?
All right. So I have a bonus topic. That's all I have on that topic, but I have a bonus topic.
Well, okay, so real fast on that topic.
Yes.
You mentioned Freud, but just briefly. Freud actually did a lot of psychoanalytic experiments with women who were hysterical to further prove that point.
That fucking wandering womb.
Wandering womb.
That's a tough line to walk between being, you know, a contributing employee versus a hysterical employee.
And can you imagine being called that?
But that's how we linked it with the...
When you're then I probably passionate. Went to
hysterical.
That's how we linked it with the Oedipus complex is that you're like that because of your attraction to one of your parental figures,
and it minimizes your intellect and
it absolutely minimizes, and the worst feeling in the world is to not feel validated, I think.
Oh yeah,
it's the worst. That just nothing more frustrating, and you disappear. That helpless feeling. And
you start to disappear.
You just want to be heard.
Yeah. Well, and I've had people call very upset. Doesn't mean I agree with what they're saying, but I listen and I go, I hear you. I am sorry that you had to go through that. What can I do to make this better?
Yeah.
And they get quiet after ranting. They're very upset and they go, well, this is what I want. I'm like, well, that's very reasonable. Yeah. And like, and it's
you
like,
you can just listen to what they want. You're not saying they're going to get it, but you can just listen and be like, oh, you want this.
And
but,
you totally threw them off because nobody expects someone.
Yeah.
To
you can
say,
tell that they're not used to that.
What can I do? Mm-hmm. You know?
And again, when people are defending like their kids or quality care or all these things, like, yes, I would expect a mom to get upset about something that impacts her child. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But I think, again, those things get overlooked.
I'm not being hysterical. I'm just communicating.
You're just mama bear.
Yeah. And that's not hysterical.
Well, I mean, you might be called hysterical by somebody, though.
Yeah. It can be perceived that way, but it's not.
Kick them in the nuts.
That's usually a good,
You guys are going to love my
bonus
topic.
Where's my Ruth Bader Ginsburg shirt?
All right, so
she pulled that secret paper from under the desk.
Over her shoulder, and she's getting mad about it.
I know. Get away, Vinny. I wanted to touch cheeks, and now I don't.
She tells me to get close, and then she tells me to get away. Are you hysterical?
I'm so fucking hysterical. Love me, don't leave me.
Love me, don't leave me.
I hate you. Go away. Okay, so we mentioned this.
I wrote down touching cheeks. If that's any comfort.
She's too judgy. So we mentioned this last time, Macy, so this is partly a gift for you, and also it goes with this topic, so I thought I'd bring it up.
So Booty's not part of it. Why are you keeping it from her?
Because she's reading ahead. She reads faster than I
speak.
That's
true. She was looking ahead earlier.
Yeah, she looks ahead.
I need to prep. I need to think.
So this is actually a diagnosis today.
Oh,
in our DSM.
This is what I brought up, huh?
Yes, Macy brought this up last time. Get ready to get outraged, ladies. Okay, this is a mental disorder, according to the
DSM.
Fucking manual.
That was released in 2014 is the last update.
Premenstrual dysphoric disorder.
True fact.
Oh, God,
okay. Get ready to say, we'll say yes or no. Okay,
yes,
ready?
Get ready to say your yes or no. So okay, in order to qualify this, you have to have only one of this group, present.
I guarantee you I've got it already.
Okay, so marked affective labilities. So that means mood swings, feeling suddenly sad or tearful, or increased sensitivity to rejection.
I will cry during a dog food commercial.
Who's the man who put in the rejection word?
Yeah.
We could have just we could have just left it at increased sensitivity.
Yeah, why does rejection have to be? Rejection hurts anybody.
They're making it about them. That's what this is.
This isn't about you. Us. We're not upset.
They rejected our uterus. And we're upset about it?
I'm sure if we did some real stats here, women probably leave men more often than men leave women, to be fair.
It's just who's keeping track? You know, who writes
the
history books?
Rejection. Jeez. I
right.
believe that
So
word.
We had a unanimous yes for number one.
Well, and I want to know, rejection, where is your research? If this all takes, if you can't get chronic PTSD into the diagnosis of complex trauma, but you're going to put this bullshit in there.
Rejection. Yeah.
I have PMS so bad in my teens and 20s.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get hormone shots twice a month because I would just want to kill people.
And that's a medical diagnosis.
Yes. It's 65.6, actually.
But it could be...
I remember.
It could be anybody, really, though.
Yes. Okay, keep going.
Organic.
Sorry, go on. That was number one. We all got fired up.
So here's number two.
Okay, number two.
Stop looking. Marked irritability or anger or increased interpersonal conflicts. Hello.
Yes.
We're all raising our hand.
My uterine lining
everybody.
Is shedding. Leave me alone.
That's what I usually say. I'm like, the entire wall of my uterus is falling out of my body right now. Will you just give me a break for 3 days?
Yeah.
3 to 7 days.
All right. Number three, marked depressed mood. Feelings of hopelessness or self-deprecating thoughts. Mine is usually, why am I so fucking bloated? Why
mine is like, tired? I can't button my pants anymore.
Why am I a bottomless pit?
I'm so tired.
Why is everyone mad at me for being irritable? Why am I crying all the time?
You get to the point where you're like, fuck all of you.
All right, so unanimous yes to three.
Okay. So number we hit four. Three of three, all of us. Okay.
Yeah. Marked good. Four. Number four, marked anxiety, tension, and or feelings of being keyed up and or on edge.
I'm anxious all the time. How am I supposed to like keep those two things apart?
Is it bad if I say I actually have whatever this is, but on my terms?
No, the point is everybody has this. And
okay.
The fucking yeah. manual makers are making our natural feminine nature pathological.
It's hormones.
And fuck you.
Because the thing is a not medical you. A fuck medical them. Diagnosis should be focused on what is causing problems in your life that is blocking you from having the wellness that you want.
But this is normal shit, and maybe the world needs to adjust to us. Maybe we need to bring back the red tent, motherfuckers, which sounds like adjust a very pleasant us. Place to be.
I would love to be in a red tent, right?
I feel yeah. like we need a shirt that says adjust to us, motherfuckers.
That's right. Don't make us pathological. Oh, now I'm fired up. I'm not even PMSing.
Me neither.
No, you're a hysterical feminazi for feeling this way.
All right. So that's the first group.
Okay. It's fun to watch the men join the room and listen, leave. Listen for and a scatter. Few minutes and then leave.
They're like, not the and podcast for us.
Definitely not my podcast. My poor dad is still listening, but you know.
Hi, Dad.
He's horrified.
Your dad's a good guy.
So you only had to have one of that group.
What?
Yeah, we have all four.
I have all of them.
So here's
he
the
said,
other
please
group.
Please stop. No, we're going.
No, this we're not happening. Done.
We're so not done.
You also only have to have one or more of this group, but you have to have a total of five altogether, which okay. if you said yes to the first four, you only need one
we
more.
We only need one more.
Did.
Okay. Yeah. And not even stretching it. That's all right. Just...
So decreased interest in usual activities.
You're shedding your lining.
You literally, hello? You have like doubled over in pain. You're depressed because you hate how you look and everybody's, you're just
and you have
hate
low
everything.
Energy.
And there's eggs and they're exiting and lining and it's exiting and everything's awful.
I mean, I love working out, but I never want to fucking work out at that time. I'm
no,
like lazy.
Nothing
like,
makes
I'm just
well, and you feel like something
to.
Bad's going to happen. Like, I don't want
to. Do
men
have an equivalent?
My insides will fall out.
Do men
I don't
have
know.
An equivalent of this?
I don't know.
Maybe just erectile know. Dysfunction. Can we talk about that more publicly?
Maybe that's a future
why is
topic.
That not in?
Yeah. What's the ICD-9 for that?
I don't
ICD
know.
10. We're at 10.
10
so.
Now?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, oh, it's and we still have not progressed. We're still pathologizing fucking women for bleeding.
Periods, yeah.
So, difficulty in concentration. That might happen. Lethargy. Easily
feeling
fatigability
tired.
Or marked
again,
lack of energy. Yes,
you're losing
everybody.
Blood. You're losing anemia. Blood.
And let's talk about the hormonal changes that are happening
huge.
That lead to a fucking decrease
so
in
what
energy.
What we really need is more understanding.
Motherfuckers.
Guys.
This
enough,
is organic.
More education.
This is fucking organic. This is not pathology.
It's not weird.
All right. I love this one. Mark change in appetite. Overeating
what?
Or specific food cravings. Hello.
Chocolate.
Wow.
And then pretzels and then chocolate
wine.
And then red wine. My boyfriend, Paul, God bless him. We had a big relationship jump last week when I was bleeding. I asked him to pick me up some tampons because I was, no, this was, I think this was Thanksgiving. So there's a reason I couldn't leave the house. I was like basting the turkey or something. So I'm like, please bring me some tampons. Mm-hmm. And God bless him. He delivered it with a bottle of wine. So boyfriend
nice.
Of the year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I just like, so myth number one, we're always on that time of the month quote. Have you guys ever been told that before?
Yes.
Like, is it that time? That is one of my biggest.
My husband always does that.
So first of all, it's important to understand. So right now I'm on Healthline. I'm just clarifying. I feel like we need to interject some truth as we do this. So it's important to understand that a woman's menstrual cycle is not the same as her period.
It's true.
Men. The actual time that a woman bleeds is known as menstruation, but her menstrual cycle is
continuous.
The entire time from one period to the next.
From the time you're fucking 12 or shit.
I'll throw a weird little kink into this. I do not menstruate.
Mm-hmm.
But I get PMS like a
yep, exactly. That's because
yeah,
you can have a menstrual cycle without bleeding, and yep. and that typically lasts 28 days, even though that's and just an average. All
you
know
is you never know.
And I have a very short cycle, so I'm fucked with this shit.
Some can be shorter, yeah.
Yeah, like every 3 weeks-ish, which so it's, is
so it says, for Paul. What is normal, you will have weight fluctuations.
Yes.
Your emotions will go up and down because of hormones. Yes. Medications can impact you differently because of that. And what? Why is your phone flashing?
Oh, she put her son on there. Hi.
Hi.
Booty's handsome son.
Hi, handsome son.
You're on a podcast.
Are right you now. Listening to us talk about periods?
And we're talking about periods and menstruation.
Oh, let me know how that goes. I can call back any other.
You want to learn more?
How old are you?
21.
Well, oh. It's a perfect time to learn about menstruation.
So the pain, this is from Healthline, the pain that women get during a period is real. We're not talking about headaches or bumping into sharp corners. Some of us have to take time off work, yes. curl in bed, hoping yes. the pinching cramps will subside.
No, I get horrible fucking cramps. And sometimes I bleed so bad I can't leave the house.
20%.
5 days of school a month in high school.
20% of women have dysmenorrhea.
Why are you making that face, booty son?
Yeah, that's severe enough to interfere with daily activities. The condition affects your concentration, can make you anxious, and makes things downright unpleasant.
I don't think this should be in the fucking DSM because it is not this a mental disorder.
This is literally listing normal health conditions this is, for this the is female body.
Hormones and natural. I mean, I've had to double pad. Has anybody out there ever had to double pad it? You ever had one of those days?
And when you're 21 years old, your happiness is, we got a king size bed, Mom.
Oh, that's so exciting.
That's great.
Is your uterine wall falling
don't
out
don't bleed
yet?
All over it.
Yeah.
It looks like a real light colored comforter.
That's right.
You better get some dark sheets.
Right.
Oh,
I'll call you later.
If not now, someday. Okay. Okay. Wait, I'm not done yet with this. I'm going to keep going.
Okay. And then I'm only on number four of this, so we can come back to the criteria.
We'll come back. So myth number three, it's okay to dismiss our feelings when we're on our period.
No.
There's a very real physical change in women's body during this time. In the days leading up to a woman's period, when she's, quote, PMSing, her levels of estrogen plummet, uh-huh. while her levels of progesterone sharply increase.
It's hormonal, motherfuckers.
Estrogen is linked to serotonin, the happy hormone, and progesterone is linked to the part of the brain that causes fear, anxiety, and depression. The effects of hormones on moods are complicated, and while progesterone may depress some emotions, it has a mood balancing effect. So, like, these are real things.
Injections every month.
Ooh, so it may seem
I
like
smell another dog fart. Me this too. Warning.
Oh Lord!
It may seem like just hormones, but really this isn't just hormones. It actually impacts the brain chemicals that are released as well. Also, your hormones don't define you. So women have been accused of being hormonal for a long time. That we're so hormonal.
This is why I need to go back to the world needs to adjust to us. So this instead of us being problematic.
They mention hysteria in here as a they say some men have equated our feelings to hysteria as if it's an illness to explain female behavior. But newsflash, everyone has hormones, including men.
Right.
So take a look at the study on male contraception, which was discontinued because participants couldn't handle contraceptive side effects of acne, injection pain, and emotional disorders. Women
but they expect women to deal with the side effects of birth
accept
control.
Women accept all these same side effects, well, even if they negatively impact their
birth control. It's because it's our problem, not theirs.
Yeah, so men could take the same kind of contraception.
I wish
they would. But it's put on the women, and women do it. Wait, I'm not done. Almost done.
No,
you got her all
I'm outraged.
You gotta let her go.
Myth number five, period blood is dirty blood.
What?
Period blood is rejected body fluids or the body's way of flushing out toxins. Think of it as evolved vaginal secretion. There's a little bit of blood, uterine tissue, mucus lining, and bacteria, but it doesn't change whether or not we can have sex. And it doesn't mean conditions
well,
are less
that word
than ideal.
Dirty comes from a man that didn't want to get his red wings.
Well, and that's what they're saying is that it's saying that it doesn't it doesn't impact sex. Wait, you've never heard?
I've never heard.
I'm sorry, Dad. You may need to stop listening. You've never heard of red wings?
No.
What? Like the guy getting his red wings?
No, I've never heard.
Do you know
of
what that means?
No.
I'll let Tart say, since I have my father listening.
It's when you have your period sex as a man. Which I admit may look like a murder scene afterwards.
So it's actually less concentrated blood, and it has fewer blood cells than ordinary blood. So
it's like the Mile High Club, but
I've never for period sex. Never.
Only women get periods. Not every woman gets her period, and not every female who gets a period considers themselves a woman.
That's
transgender
right.
Men may still get their periods, just as transgender women might not have periods. So it's not just a woman's issue.
How awful would that be? I mean, it's bad enough for us to try and explain how we're feeling.
Yes.
But to be a transgender person.
This isn't a woman's issue. It's a human issue.
It's a human issue.
Yeah.
You know, I would never date anybody that wouldn't want to have sex with me when I was on my period. I mean, I might not want to have sex. But I want them to want to have sex with me.
Don't look at me. Don't touch me.
My dad said he's stabbing his ears out. Myth number 7. Again, we got to skip the talk growing up. He said, so, you know, have you had like the birds and the bees talk? I'm like, yeah, dad, mom already did that. So we got to like pass right by that.
My parents bought me a book by the Reverend James Dobson.
Ooh, Reverend though.
And there was one who wrote a lot of parenting manuals.
There was one page about sex, and I read it over and over and over again. And all it was when two people love each other, they rub together and it's tingly.
Ew.
I'm like, what?
Was that in Twilight? Oh, no, they glitter when they rub together.
It was kind of like the Reverend James Dobson version of they got glittery.
I never got the talk, and it did not end well.
Clearly.
It was a lot of experimentation.
Teen mom.
So myth number 7, that periods are a personal issue. So in 2014, it really shows it's a humanitarian crisis. The United Nations declared that menstrual hygiene is a public health issue because many people don't have access to proper hygiene.
Yeah. Also, yeah.
Girls, can you imagine?
In India, girls miss school 1 to 2 days every month because of their periods.
I've heard about this.
Which impacts their education.
I've looked into groups that are like hand sewing reusable pads. Rewashable pads
every woman has had that panic moment when you're in the bathroom and you're like rolling up toilet paper to try and make a pad.
Yep. I gotta tell you, I don't know anybody who hasn't had to do that at some point.
Everybody's had to do that,
and it's awful.
And it's not cool.
So okay, myth number 8, I'll let you get back to your topic soon. Periods,
I like your myths.
Periods are shameful. If we stopped thinking that periods are gross, shameful, and dirty, then perhaps it wouldn't be a humanitarian crisis.
Oh my God. So this has been something I've been trying to work on for actually the last couple of years is...
I know. We're sitting here shaking our cans. We're done.
Well, don't suck them so hard, ladies. But something... Stay away. I'm savoring. So I've been really trying to make an effort at work that when I'm on my period, I hold my tampon in my hand and let people see
That's
it.
That's awesome.
Because
who cares?
Who fucking cares? Like half the people in the workplace are probably bleeding too.
Mm-hmm. Like half the people ask me for one.
Why does it have to be secret?
Why does it have to be secret and private? Because that denotes shame and dirtiness.
It's so ingrained.
So let's all hold our tampons high in the workplace or our pad or whatever.
The truth is that we have a long history of embarrassment around our periods growing up as women. And this is where my dad can stand by this, is that people shame you for that. And that's not fair. And it's so ingrained in our behavior that putting people on blast basically for having a period, which is normal. We shouldn't have to feel like we need to whisper or like, hey, making it so secretive.
Someone who's had endometriosis since they were 12.
Mm-hmm.
I was always shamed for it. They put me on birth control when I was 12 to try and control it. Someone finding out you're on birth control when you're 12, you're instantly the slut.
So the benefits of having a period is that it actually slows aging. And even reduces our risk of cardiovascular disease. It's your body's way of staying balanced.
Well, when I'm having all this stuff that's in this thing, and
keep
then
going. I'm done now. Go
I
ahead.
Start my period, like I instantly feel better.
Me too.
It's like it's this physical, pressure built yeah, yeah, yeah. up.
It's a physical and then you're like sigh.
Oh, I'm it like, happened. Jesus Christ, thank God.
I told my husband, it's like, a deep,
like I have this like headache physical. That just builds for days and builds for days and builds for days. And then all like, of a sudden it's like, ah, okay. better.
It's balance.
And then the physical crap hits. And
so like, so now that we continue into this after going through the facts.
So number 7 pisses me off most of all, but we're just at number 5. So number 4, as I can remind everybody, was specific food cravings, overeating, changes in appetite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that fucking pathological? I am so pissed right now. That should not be pathological.
No. Do you know how many men sit and eat random food just sitting on the couch and like...
And pout.
They get emotional. They pout and they watch. They're not interested in doing anything.
And pout.
And
so hypersomnia or insomnia, so sleep difficulties. A sense of being overwhelmed or out of control. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then this one really pisses me off. Why is this pathological?
Read it.
Why is this a mental illness?
Read it.
It doesn't make any sense.
Read it.
I'm trying to read it. She's shaking.
Physical symptoms such as breast tenderness or swelling, joint or muscle pain.
Literally the
a sensation of bloating or weight gain. Why is that fucking pathological?
It's not.
I am so angry. This is just physical.
I'm telling you.
These are physical.
Organical, health. Physical processes that happen.
And I like, this it's is a not process.
A
it's
fucking
not
a mental health system. I'm so mad.
This is not a problem. It's not a problem.
It's natural.
This is what your body does.
I'm
but
so
it
mad.
It terrifies men.
I'm so mad.
That's why it's hysterical. It terrifies
This should not
them.
Be in the DSM. This should not be a mental health disorder.
Why does it
bloating? Why is my bloating your problem?
Why does my bloating terrify you? You big chickens.
Oh, I'm so glad we got to make so many people uncomfortable tonight.
It's one of my favorites. It needs to be said.
No, it's very true. It's very true.
It is. It's offensive. I was totally offended for my friend who said, I could not believe that they said I was being hysterical.
I think no woman out there should put up with being called hysterical or histrionic.
No.
Or being made to feel that your period is shameful or dirty or that your PMS symptoms are anything other than completely natural.
And frankly, men, you're welcome. We have PMS and we have cramps and we have all this awful stuff so that if we choose to give you a child, we can.
Yes, we're preparing for fucking pregnancy. Jesus Christ.
But you're welcome. Just saying.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
That's right.
But really,
you're welcome. Buck
really
up,
what they need to be saying is thank you. You know, anytime.
And how can I support
that's,
you
that's
during
a correction.
This
anytime
difficult hormonal time for you?
You want to say anything negative, just say thank you.
And okay. I, you know what?
Or would you like a hot water bottle and ice cream and wine?
Because I understand you're really in pain.
I have to tell you, I was really impressed. My middle son is 21 years old. And when he was 18, he came to me and he's like, oh, my girlfriend has really bad cramps. Do you have anything for it? And I was like, I got a rice bag for her back and a heating pad for her belly. And I have Midol. And he took it all. And I was like, yes. That's my son.
That's great.
Yeah.
I think we should get special leave from work for really bad cramps.
It's no
or
joke.
Bleeding.
Someone who has endometriosis, it's no joke.
I've had days like seriously, like if I don't go to the restroom every half hour, bad things are gonna happen at work. And that's shitty to have to deal with that.
And men have no idea.
They have no idea.
No.
I've had to go buy new clothes during my work day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God, me too. I need my lunch break. I gotta go buy new underwear.
Yeah, and like you just throw it away.
Yeah.
Well, and can you think about it? Any, like, if you go to a doctor's or you have a medical procedure, if my employee came in and they're bleeding through their clothing, I would say, please go home and take care of yourself and come back when you're good.
Like, less than, like, you should just suck it up.
Yeah, we have to just suck it up.
Why suck it up, and I'm gonna make you feel shamed about it.
Yeah. Yep. Bullshit.
It is bullshit. Now I'm really mad. Sorry, Macy's dad, but I'm really mad.
Is he the only one listening?
Again, there's been people bouncing in and out.
They're like, not the podcast for me.
We've had 23 people total in and out.
Well, interestingly, our Instagram followers are 75% men.
What?
Really?
I know. I've been wondering about that.
Maybe they're really
Paul says it's because I have a sensual voice.
I've heard that you were, remember I said that you were, I think, a sex worker. Your voice sounds like.
I have a husky, sexy voice.
A husky sex worker.
I don't have to try.
I would have to concentrate.
I just sound like a 12-year-old questioning the sexy husky worker.
I always sing tenor in the junior high and high school.
Oh my God, I was the alto.
Can you guys sing together right now?
No.
I'm pretty tone deaf.
In front of a microphone.
No, thank you.
You don't want that.
Should we sign off?
My dad said he's blind now too. Thanks.
Great.
Cool. See you Saturday, Dad.
Until next time.
Let's go in the red tent.
Hold your tampon high.